The goal of Data Transformers Podcast is to accelerate digital transformation by bridging the gap between business outcomes and rapidly advancing technologies. And we aim to bridge this gap by focusing on data. I am Peggy Tsai, top 50 women in tech influencer, co-author of the AI book, and data governance expert.
I'm Ramesh Danta, an entrepreneur, a tech blogger, and AI enthusiast.
Seeing this is our very first episode of Data Transformers, we thought we would first introduce what this podcast is about, talk about ourselves and our data and technology backgrounds, and start diving into the topics that we thought we could explore with our featured guests. Going forward, Ramesh and I will be inviting data transformers who are actively in the marketplace for transforming tomorrow's and today's digital transformation process.
That's right, Peggy. So thank you. I'm pretty excited to join Peggy on this adventurous journey. And the people that Peggy talked about are the movers and shakers in the industry. People who are looking at the trends and then transforming their own companies and industries. And in addition to the people and movers and shakers, we also want to address the latest trends. What are the challenges that people are facing in transforming these companies?
That's right, Ramesh. And there's so many podcasts out there right now talking already about data and technology. And I think what's really going to set our podcast apart, hopefully, is the fact that we ourselves have come from deep data and technology backgrounds. So I thought we would first talk about, interview each other so that everyone in the audience gets to know a little bit more about ourselves. And then talk about some of the passions we feel strongly about and sort of what we're planning and hoping to do with this podcast journey that we're about to embark on.
All right, let's do it, Peggy. So this whole journey started, I've sent you an email. Actually, even before that, we were on a panel, and then that's how I came across your bio. And then I was very interested in your professional background. And then I said, Peggy, would you be interested in joining me on this Data Transformers podcast? And then so everything got aligned. So and let's get to know a little bit more about you, Peggy. So what do you currently do?
Sure, Ramesh. So I'm currently the VP of Data Solutions at Big ID. And what I work on is data governance for our product. For those of you not familiar with Big ID, we are a data discovery platform focusing on privacy, security, and governance. So I've been in this role since January of 2020. And actually throughout the year, I've been doing a lot of webinars and podcasts and talks. And really, Ramesh, I mean, what I'm so excited about embarking on this journey with you as well is the fact that I've actually enjoyed talking to other people in the industry. I've had a fantastic time reconnecting with all the people that I used to work with in data, in technology, insurance, fintech, insurtech. So I find this is a fun opportunity to really be able to continue doing what I love to do, which is talking and connecting with other people in this field.
So you decided to take a plunge in 2020. 2020 has been a seminal year for so many people in so many aspects. And in January of 2020, you said you're going to change. And then within 2 months, the whole world changed.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think anyone really foresaw what was going to happen. In 2019, I knew that I wanted to make a change. Prior to joining Big ID, I spent about 18 years in the financial services industry, where I was really a hands-on data governance practitioner. I've done my previous roles were at Morgan Stanley Wealth Management, where I helped run the data governance program. And I did various things like supporting our data analytics and science teams, just really things around data standardizations, building up a data stewardship program. So really hands-on program management, but also enabling a stronger data culture at Morgan Stanley Wealth Management. And prior to that, I was at AIG, it's an insurance company, where I worked on projects for Europe when we had GDPR rolling out in 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
just many really hands-on data governance activities as a program lead. So it's been really fun and exciting, but now it's also fun and exciting to be on the complete opposite side, whereas now on the product side, I'm helping to build solutions that I myself definitely wanted and craved for as a data management professional. So, you know, 2020 is really the epitome of change for myself personally, and also, you know, for the world, I guess you can tell.
Yeah, to a large extent, right? So a lot of transformation there. So it's interesting. So you were on the side where you're implementing programs, and 2020, you switched to a side where now you're exhorting, you're motivating, inspiring other companies to implement these data-driven programs.
Well, certainly that's my goal, hopefully to motivate and encourage companies to take on a more AI-first approach to data management. But certainly I understand, I've been in their shoes. I know what sort of issues they're facing within a corporation. I know how hard it is to get funding, to rally a team to come together,
That's right.
Get a consensus for implementing a data strategy. So I've gone through those struggles firsthand. I know what it feels like. I know the highs and the lows that's really involved being in working at several financial services companies. So being on the other side now, again, I can definitely relate to what their struggles are, but hopefully I can also convince them that the time to change, to time to improve their technology, to time to embrace AI machine learning technology around data, I mean, the time is now. Otherwise, there are so many other companies across many industries that are already embracing AI machine learning that anyone who does not start embracing and implementing these changes will just be left on the wayside.
So, Peggy, let me, so 18 years is very deep expertise. I mean, you probably covered lots of financial areas, but how did you actually get started? Out of college, you just got into a job that required you to look at data. Can you talk a little bit about your start?
Sure. So, I actually graduated from Cornell University with an undergraduate in economics.
Okay.
So I actually never had a passion. I didn't really know what I was doing. Actually, it's a funny story. I graduated in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who've been around long enough, you all know what happened in 2001. There's a big technology bubble burst.
Yeah.
So a lot of the job offers, the companies that we all aspire to work with, especially as an economics major, you know, working in investment banking and consulting, all those offers suddenly disappeared within a matter of months. So it was a big change for...
Look, Peggy, it looks like you decided to make your change in the most critical years, 2001, 2020, but anyway, keep going.
It's just very, very bad, very bad timing. But I think, you know, those challenges actually are what shaped me. I'm grateful for the perseverance I had to go through the very beginning of my career. I had to really hustle to find a first job out of college that was in my field. I know a lot of my classmates, you know, ended up working at Starbucks or just in a career that they did not anticipate, especially coming from an Ivy League school.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly was a tough challenge for that generation.
Wow, that's really tough.
But you know what? I wanted to explore, you know, this is what I really encourage anyone coming out of school these days is, you know, don't be completely set on a specific career. It's good to always have that learning and broad change mode because that's really going to help you build resiliency in your career. So, and to build a long, fruitful career, hopefully. And I'm only in the middle of my journey, so I'm really excited about where I've come from, you know, the last 18 years. working in being really lucky as well, working in top-notch companies. My first foray into data was really when I started at S&P Global.
Actually, I was about to ask you that. How did you get into the data side? So so how did the transition happen? I mean, the job came through and you took it, or you went after the job? Can you talk a little bit about that?
So I've been really lucky. I think one career tip, if I could give that right now on this podcast, is to always continue networking and building your network of people. So I've always been a big proponent of LinkedIn and Twitter to connect with and build out my network. Mm-hmm. And I think certainly, Ramesh, that's how we certainly stayed in touch. And it turned out that a recruiter reached out to me through LinkedIn and told me about this fantastic job at S&P, where I literally spent 9 years building out my data foundation, learning about all these data skills. It's really all coming from this long piece of time that I spent at S&P.
Wow, that's fantastic. So Peggy, I mean, as we go through more episodes, I would really like to know more about you. I mean, just for the audience, I don't know much about Peggy's background, so I am learning some things real time. So I'm fascinated to dig more into it. So that is a fantastic introduction. So now you're here, and then you're starting this podcast journey, and then we'll talk more later on about the trends and then challenges that you see, but that's a fantastic introduction. Thank you.
Thank you, Ramesh. And now let's turn the tables onto you. I mean, I think the audience would also love to hear more about yourself and how you got started. And I know when we first started, you are also a data transformer, because you've transitioned from your early start in your career until where you are now. So maybe for the audience, we can talk. We could share what was your first role out of school. Tell me what you studied and what were you like.
Yeah, right. So actually, I have an interesting journey as well, which is that for the record, so I graduated from college in India in mechanical engineering. And then afterwards, I did right away my master's in industrial engineering. And the funny piece of it, I have not worked in either one of those fields even for one day, right?
Wow, okay.
So neither mechanical engineering, but it set the right foundation, right? It helps you think, solve problems and all that good stuff. So I joined a multinational company in India as a systems analyst, the programmer analyst, systems analyst. And then the software that we developed, we were selling into Europe and US. And then to market the software and actually to support the software, first I went to Spain and then spent some time there. And afterwards, I landed in the US. So that was the transition there. And then after working for some time, I'm one of those people, I need to constantly learn, right? And then one of my dream is always to do my MBA. And then when I came to the US, there was a time afterwards I got an opportunity. So I left my job completely and then went for a full-time MBA. So I graduated from Duke University's Fuqua School of Business. And then after the MBA, I switched to marketing and strategy / program management. So I was predominantly on the business side, but always looking at technology, how best we can use the technology towards the business goals. So I joined a large semiconductor, so basically Intel Corporation. I was there for quite some time, 18 plus years, but in various roles, right? So I'm one of those people which is in a boon or a bane, where after every 3 years, I have to switch. I have to learn, otherwise I get bored.
I'm the same way too. Exactly. Every couple years, even when I stayed at S&P for 9 years, every couple years I had a new role, a new project to take on.
Yeah. It's good that such a large company provides you so many opportunities. Otherwise, I had to switch companies, right? So there came a point where one of my mentors was telling me, Ramesh, maybe you're switching your positions too soon, right? First year, they said, you're just trying to learn the job. And second year is now you know the area. And third year is where you're actually trying to make changes and impact the organization. And if you leave right after the third year, you may not have enough time to really make sure that the changes happen. So that's why one of the last roles I had was for, 5, 6, 7 years kind of stuff. And then I was getting, bored, right, by the time. Anyway, so after that, that stint, I decided to take, I wanted to do passion projects, things I really liked doing. So I quit. And then I took the plunge into entrepreneurship. And that is when, because there was so much revolution happening outside, Peggy. The data analytics is just exploding. New technologies like artificial intelligence is just, coming on the horizon. People are spending a lot of money on this one. So I wanted to take part in it. So I started a data strategy consulting company called digitaltransformationpro.com. And then that is how I really dug myself into learning about these areas and then speaking about them and then and writing, right? And on the side also, I was getting my feet wet in multiple startups, different kinds of startups, right? So we started a healthcare software as a service business, a SaaS business, right? So, and then I'm one of those people I want to learn, right? As I said, right, by talking to people. So I started a podcast called Agile Entrepreneurship Podcast in 2019. And then I kept talking to entrepreneurs. And then I took those learnings and then put them into a book called The 60-Minute Startup, right? So these are all one project after another project, a consulting company, a SaaS company, and then a podcast and then the books, right? So that's how I was able to keep myself productive, engaged. In a nutshell, that is what I've been doing over the last, 20 years or so.
That is so fascinating because from what I've been hearing, you've been able to make all these changes and continue to grow and continue to learn. Is there anything that you don't do? It seems like you've done everything from consulting to writing to speaking. So I'm just curious.
So actually, it's one of those things, right? Which is you do it, and then if you fail at it, that's fine. So all that happened is a fail, right? So for example, so here we are, on this journey together, right? Two complete strangers a couple of months ago, but we decided to come together towards one cause that there is a difference that we can make, right? In how people can think about data, how people should look at technology, right? So if I'm 100% convinced this is going to be hugely successful, but let's say for whatever reason, it's not no damage done, right? So I think along those lines, just do it and in whatever area, and then if it's not successful, that's fine. So you learn something and move on.
I completely agree with you. And I think one of the things that brought us together as well is we both have strong passions about data and technology. And as I mentioned earlier, having spent 18 years in data, I've sat on both sides of the business. I've sat on the data, on the business side, the revenue side. I've also sat on the technology side of the business. And I always saw myself as the bridging the gap, right, between what the business wanted as their requirements, and then technology not really being able to understand and fully interpret all these requirements. So I enjoyed roles where I sat in the middle of the two, where I was helping to interpret, explain the technology limitations to the business, but also through technology, I was really translating all the business requirements into code-like requirements so that they can understand and know what to build out. So for me, this is complete, it completely makes sense because there needs to be more people that understand and fill this gap, that's the chasm that separates between business and technology in many organizations.
Correct. So Peggy, with that, let me just switch a little bit, and I want to understand a little bit more about Peggy Tsai, who she is.
Sure.
Right. So on the personal side, okay. So you made a lot of changes, and And then you talked about networking and all that stuff. So who has been some of the significant influencers of your career or of your life in general?
That's a good question. So I would say actually my dad was a very big influencer. I think many people grow up not really knowing what their parents do, what their occupation is. And it was funny, one of the first projects I did at S&P back in the day, I literally used Access and Excel and I built databases by hand. I just coded by hand. It was really makeshift, but it proved the point that our team wanted. So I was building manually these databases and I was actually a data modeler and figuring out all these things.
Really?
And then I remember one day I was coming home and telling my dad what I was doing, and I was talking about, you know, things like primary keys and foreign keys, things like that. And I realized that his job, he actually used to work at Bank of New York before it merged with Mellon. And his job was actually a database auditor. So he did the CSAC work for 20, 25 years before he retired, doing building up databases. And that was really profound for me because, you know, data obviously is grounded in technology and databases. And that's the kind of career that I, you know, ended up doing.
So he definitely influenced your, I think, the career in terms of data. And without naming names, if you're not comfortable, but have there been people, let me just go into this area, right? So I mean, this I have to address. Being a woman in a field, what is considered to be dominated by men, right? Your career over a period of career, so I don't know if you're comfortable talking about it. Have you had more challenges or more opportunities? Or anybody helped you navigate these challenges if you had?
That's a good question. And I actually would love to hear your point of view, Ramesh, as well, being male in a technology world as well.
Yeah.
But I think as a female, I never thought too much of it, even though I was very cognizant of the fact that you know, I was in a room and there'd be 10 men and just myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also had, you know, when I was working in more corporate situations, I also felt that, one, I was also younger. So I also had to deal with the fact that not only was I a woman, I was Asian, I was younger. So I had a little bit of inferiority complex, I would say.
Yeah.
Just in terms of not being able to know where I stood. But I think that all that has changed as I've been more confident in my last few roles. Yes, I was the only woman, but I felt very confident in the knowledge domain. I felt more comfortable speaking out and certainly raising issues as needed. But you know what? I also worked in fantastic companies that supported women.
Yeah.
So I've always been active in organizations within our company that are focused on women in data, women in technology. And these are really strong networks for me to build upon, to find good mentors, good sponsors, and also being able to identify women leaders that could help, you know, support me or give me advice. And that really helped me along in my career as well. And that's why I feel obligated to pay it forward to, you know, the current generation of graduate students or people starting out in the career of data governance. I always spend time, you know, mentoring, giving advice to students because I feel that I received that in the last 20 years. And I continue actually to have mentors that I reach out to and advise. So I feel like I've been lucky because I've been able to find the support, but I know definitely is a challenge. And actually one piece of advice, and I received from a peer of mine, a very successful data executive for an insurance company. And I consider her a peer. We're pretty much the same level, although she's certainly risen in her career. But one thing she told me was, she told me, Peggy, do not give up your role. Do not give up what you're doing, because even though you don't think you're a successful data professional, there are other women that look up to you because I've achieved a certain like VP status or whatever organization. So I feel that I have to continue trailblazing the way for more women to take on more outspoken, more prominent roles in data organizations. So I feel a little bit of a burden to carry this torch with her. But at the same time, I'm very excited as well, because I think there should be more leaders and diversity in this space as well.
Excellent, Peggy. Thank you for sharing. It's personal. I know some people may not be comfortable. Answer my, from my side on those two angles, right? One is influencers in my life. And then secondly, in terms of a diversity aspect of it, right? So first, let me address the influencers. So for me, definitely my parents, they inspired me to learn, inspired me to, get education. And that is the way to be successful, right? So that is I'm grateful for that. But everyone beyond that, somehow my classmates, my network is the one been the biggest influencers, right? So I always relied on whenever I needed something. I was fortunate enough that I had a good network of classmates and people, and even the seniors in colleges and people who have helped me a lot in various aspects. So there's not a one single person that comes to my mind, but I consider my biggest strength is my network. Yeah. Like that's the in terms of influencers, people I looked up to. And secondly, with respect to the diversity aspect of it, it's interesting that when I started my career, my first manager was a woman, right? And in India. And then afterwards, when I came to the US, my first, actually two levels of the managers were women as well. So it never occurred to me about this aspect of the male to female kind of stuff until after I left MBA. In MBA itself, you start noticing that, because the ratio of men to women is probably, I would say, 2/3 to 1/3. I'm sure it changed now, but that's probably what it was. And you come to the technology world, you notice it even more, right? It's a fact in the Silicon Valley. I think a lot of people talk about it and they're trying to do something about it, but it's there. And then I noticed it even more because I have two daughters, right? So as they were growing up into the middle school and high school, and then I started becoming more aware of this whole role of women in science and technology. And but I was blindsided, right? So because I don't look at it explicitly, I don't notice it. But when it touched me personally with my own kids, then I started becoming more aware of it. I think that it's a challenge. Definitely a gap. And hopefully with your efforts, what you're doing, hopefully with this podcast, we can make small dent in motivating people, and then also having people realize about what is that they can do.
Exactly, and that would be a great small important goal of this podcast as well, is to really highlight and showcase different data transformers in various industries. And I mentioned in the past, I worked in insurance. Financial services has mainly been my bread and butter. So certainly people that I see in my network as well that are making a change.
So as we end this episode, Peggy, so let's talk about one thing on the personal. We talked about the personal passion. On the personal side, anything that you want to share, your hobbies, or you want to give the viewers and then the audience, listeners, a glimpse into who Peggy is after she checks out from work.
Oh, Oh, you said checked out after work. So
yeah, checked out after work. Like
after work, I'm constantly working. So
there is no checkout, I see.
So I mean, ever since I've this year, 2020 has been a strange year, but you know, I've really been embracing all the opportunities to connect virtually with my network. So whether I'm still on LinkedIn or Twitter, I'm constantly asking people, what are they doing? What are your passions? What do you feel most important about right now? Because my kind of personality is, I love to crowdsource. So I'm constantly, that's why I love to talk to people and really understand their points of view and how do we bring it together. And this podcast is really a great way to showcase it. I've been in, I live in New York, New York City. So obviously been in a state of lockdown or quarantine since March of this year. And between juggling remote learning for my son, who's in elementary school, and you know, doing this job, which I love, and having all these additional passion projects on the side, it's really a full-time job. But you know, if you don't see me on a podcast, you can find me virtually online somewhere. So I would think in a nutshell, that's sort of who I am. I'm open, I'm accessible. I love mentoring. I love talking about data. I love sharing about my past experiences. So really, you know, thank you, Ramesh, for this opportunity to give us a platform to really share and showcase our passions, our, you know, love for bridging the, you know, such a big gap between business and technology, and it's such an exciting venture. Really,
I agree with you. And then let me, So let me wrap by talking a little bit about me. And this first episode, and the kickoff episode. So, I don't know if I said it enough, but I'm going to say it one more time. I'm really excited, Peggy. So I'm excited by your background. I'm excited that you know, we are co-hosting this podcast. I'm on the West Coast. So Peggy, you're on the East Coast. So we cover both coasts. That's good. And then definitely. And then, so I have high school, college kids, and then your boy is just starting the journey. And to some extent, I'm like you, which is that I'm constantly somewhere on social media, something. And there is nothing like, I mean, I enjoy my work so much. There's nothing like, okay, I'm done with my work and I'm going to do something else, right? So this learning thing keeps going. But otherwise we just like to go for walks and then like to spend time with friends and, you know, write some blog somewhere and sharing some tidbit. So essentially, but I'm not like a gamer, like gaming is not my hobby or any of those kinds of things, but it's just mixing friends and work and then just learning. So that's what I do. And then the thing that drives me is that I want to connect with people, right? I mean, I'm a people person. So when I walk into a room with people, I come alive. So I like to connect with people. I like to talk to people. I want to share. I want to learn. That's what. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you liked what you heard today and would like to hear more, please subscribe to our podcast on your favorite player like iTunes and Spotify. And please do rate our podcast. Also, please go to our website, www.datatransformerspodcast.com, for more episodes, blogs, and information on our speakers. Thank you.